And I'd like now to welcome to the program Jonathan Richards and Robert Knott. Robert Knott will be with us in a moment, speaking of the arts, but right now the two of them are here to talk about War of the Worlds. It's a production by Warehouse 21, Ground Zero, Youth Radio, and Youth Media Project. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Orson Welles radio drama from way back when people actually believed. What did they believe?
They believed that the East Coast was being invaded by Martians, and they took to their cars, and the roads were jammed with traffic of panicky people trying to somehow escape. Although where you could go was hard to say.
Yeah, to escape from Martians. So you, Jonathan, are acting, and Robert, you're the director.
Yeah, it was Anna Gallegos Reinhardt's idea to put it together for Halloween. We're not recreating the actual broadcast, other than Rod Harrison doing a great intro and outro as Orson Welles, speaking just like him. We used a combination of local professional actors, celebrities like Patty Boucher and Superintendent Joel Boyd, and a lot of young people tied up with Youth Media and Ground Zero. It's going to air right here on KSFR, 7 o'clock on Halloween night.
Nice! So do you think that just maybe a few of us somewhere will really think that Santa Fe is being invaded by Martians, of course, if they're not listening to this program right now?
We certainly hope so. That is our intention, is to scare the bejesus out of them.
Did you change the words to Santa Fe and Española and all that, Albuquerque?
There was a brief discussion of that, but it would have been very difficult. None of us thought it would play as well if we did that. Initially, it was the idea. Minimal changes. I cut midway through the actual production, which aired on, I believe, the 30th, not the 31st of Halloween, back in 38. We cut midway through it. You know, the announcer did say this is Orson Welles in the Mercury Theater, which was the only indication. There was no commercials when Welles did it. I cut that, and I made other really minimal cuts, small characters that didn't really have much to do. But it's basically loyal to the original, with the exception of it was obviously written for all men. It's obvious in watching stills from the rehearsal and the actual transcript. Mm-hmm. And Patty Boucher, who plays a small role, actually noticed that too. We put three women in the part, so we changed the gender, but otherwise it's faithful. And John knew one of the two. People think Orson Welles wrote it. He did tighten it up a little with his Mercury Theater radio group, but it was written by...
It was written by Howard Koch, who was an old friend of mine. Howard Koch, best known probably to posterity for being one of the three screenwriters on Casablanca.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Along with the Epstein brothers. And Howard wrote it. Apparently, I just found out from Robert that there was another writer, a woman, whose name I had never heard. But
Anne, last name Froeke. She had a number of films at Paramount in the 40s.
Could be freaky, I guess.
Yes. And never made a big hit, but was blacklisted, as was Koch later on in the early 50s with the Communist Scare. But she co-wrote it with him, and then Welles took it and adapted it a bit and played with it.
This is such a great thing that you're actually doing radio theater.
Well, that's the key, though. In 38, even though movies were the popular medium outside of your home, radio was the popular medium in your home. It was your television at the time. Had this been done in 48, people would have gone to their TV screens and seen that it wasn't true.
Right.
I think the timing really was everything, give or take a few years.
But in the 30s, people still gathered around the radio. Even later, in the 50s, when I was growing up, I remember we listened to radio drama all the time. I mean, Sunday night you listen to Gangbusters, and you listen to and you would listen to these things and take them very seriously. And on a lot of these shows, they would then say they were crime shows, Gangbusters and things like that. And then they would say that they would come back and give you a description of a escaped criminal who might be in your area. Frankie. Has a scar over his left eye, short dark hair, and walks with a limp. But when you went to the Grand Union the next day with your mother, you would be looking out for this guy with the scar over his eye and the
right.
limp.
And that poor limping fellow behind the cash register.
It's funny because Welles was also the voice of the shadow at the time.
Yes, he was.
For money. This was Mercury Theater was on CBS, and they were looking for a way to boost ratings because you had a choice to listen to the Mercury Theater or to listen to the what they called the Chase and Sanborn Hour, which was hosted, of all things, by a ventriloquist dummy
Charlie McCarthy.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. How that could work on radio, they were knocking Wells off the ratings, and so they came up with this idea of a really good Halloween scare to try to at least once top them, and apparently they succeeded. There's a great New York Times article I sent you of the event and what panic it stirred. Nobody jumped out of buildings or killed themselves, but there were people that took to the roads, ran to their local churches to pray, called the police. One of the funniest stories is Wells insisted that he would reimburse anyone who was financially put out by the show, and one man got his money back for the money he had saved up. He was just about to go out and buy a pair of shoes, but he had to use that money to quickly go out and get on a train to get out of the city. And Wells cheerfully refunded the amount of the man's shoe money.
And he might have bought a slightly nicer pair of shoes than he had originally planned, I'm guessing.
And it did make Wells's reputation, but do you think it made Howard's?
It did Howard some good. Certainly right after that, he... with the rest of them, went out to Hollywood, and he had a very good career in Hollywood. Howard also, he won an Oscar for his screenplay for Sergeant York, and he had a very successful screen career until The Blacklist came along, of course, and then he had to move to England and write there and write under assumed names like the others did, like Trumbo. And.
But do you recall any conversations with him about War of the Worlds, or was it... something he didn't really bring up much?
We never really talked about that. We talked about Casablanca. Howard was one of the most elegant gentlemen. He was a real gentleman in the in a very old school sense. And there's another Howard Koch, a producer, a very well-known producer named Howard W. Koch, and I remember who produced things like Towering Inferno. And I was working in the film translation business with an old friend from Woodstock, where Howard lived and where I grew up, Woodstock, New York. And I came up Broadway one day and saw this big poster, you know, billboard for Howard W. Koch presents Towering Inferno. So I came into my boss and friend, Noel, and I said, Noel, I just saw this poster. Howard W. Koch, is that our Howard Koch? And she said, no, they're entirely different, and the difference is very much like the difference between Jesus Christ and Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, my goodness. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, Warehouse 21, Ground Zero, Youth Radio, and Youth Media Project present War of the Worlds. And that is a radio drama by H.G. Wells. And you, what's the role that you play?
I play Professor Pearson, which is the role that Wells played in the production. Wells
introduced
it.
So can you put on that 1930s voice for us?
I need the script.
I have the script out in my jeep. I'm not going to run out and get it. Professor, what would you say these explosions on Mars are?
Well, I don't think there's any chance that they're really Martians arriving here in spaceships, but we are looking at all the possibilities, and right after this broadcast, we will head over there to the site of the impact and see what we can find.
Real briefly, and thanks for having us on your show. It airs 7 o'clock Wednesday night. It's been a lot of fun directing people, even who didn't have a lot of acting experience, because they did get into the radio voices. A guy named Gabe Rima does a bomber pilot who goes on a suicide mission. He does him like JFK. It was a choice he made on the spot, and it's great. And one of our guys had some problems reading some of the words, and so he sounds nervous while he's reading, and he's an announcer, so some of it worked out. I haven't heard the final cut yet. It airs 7 o'clock Halloween. If you are home, KSFR, you know the radio station. We think it'll
be
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's the one you're listening to right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, even then she gets at me. And Jonathan's great. It's Matt Sanford's in it, Christina V. Hill, John Dixon, Rod Harrison, Patty Boucher. It's really a great group of people.
Well, I think you should have made it that the Martians are landing near Espanola, somewhere between Espanola and Santa Fe.
That was given serious thought, but when you hear the actual script, it would have taken such massive rewriting. And somehow, because the whole final act of the program takes the Professor Pearson character, comes in through the Holland Tunnel and up through Manhattan, and you know,
right.
Lots of description, and then finally sees them inside. It would have been, you know, coming up past Lomas and turning left on turning left on Comanche.
No, you should have had the Martians land on that abandoned mall halfway between Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
You could have had that, or you could have had them land land there, and then he finally tracks them down in the fairgrounds, perhaps.
The rodeo or
we could have gone to Roswell.
Via Linda Mall. Well, anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure.
We hope people will tune in 7 o'clock Halloween night.
Halloween night. All right. Definitely. Appointment radio, as they say. So, transitioning into speaking of the arts.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm back in the saddle again.
Yes, you are. And we plan to have you any number of times that you want to come.
You've been planning to have me for 6 or 7 years, and you never fulfilled that promise. All right. So, let's say it's Halloween night.
Wipe that little grin off of your face.
And you're not going to listen to War of the Worlds, which you should, but you want to go see something scary. I got to plug the Phantom of the Opera, the 1925 Lon Chaney version, silent, made by Universal. 7 p.m. at the Lenzic. You got to pay to get in, but they're going to have the Ally Orchestra providing live accompaniment. I believe it's going to be a 35, a regular print and not a DVD. John Bowman has a really nice story in Paso Tiempo today about the history of the making of this film. And it still holds up really well. It's about 80 minutes long, and that's 7 o'clock at the Lenzic, Halloween night. The kids will love it, I suspect. It's an old, creepy silent, and whether it still has the power to shock or not, I cannot say. But
I love movies at the Lenzic.
I do, too. I've seen many there, and I remember seeing Some Like It Hot and North by Northwest and thinking they were just an absolute kick to go see them.
I remember seeing The Big Lebowski and people dressed up like Jesus and things like that.
Meanwhile, it's a whole different kind of Jesus or Jesus age. A whole different kind of
scare. The guy in the purple bowling jumpsuit.
That's right. At the screen is John Carpenter's 1978 slasher flick, Halloween. And that's running on Tuesday night. It's a late show, 10 o'clock. It's rated R. And there's a nice piece by Rob DeWalt about that running in today's paper, too. So you could go out the night before Halloween and see Halloween. And you could go out on Halloween and see The Phantom of the Opera, 1925. Read Paso Tiempo for the details.
And can I tell you about the cat of the week?
No, please do. I want to hear. I'm going to do purring in the background because whenever I do that, you get all excited.
The cat of the week this week is called Baba. She is a sweet and playful kitten, but still a bit shy. She's coming along nicely in her foster home and will make a wonderful family pet. She's a beautiful girl with a medium-length coat and brown tabby markings with some white areas. If you would like to adopt Baba or are thinking about adopting any cat, because they've got lots of cats of all ages, please call 505-316-2281. You can go to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com or fandfnm.org.
And I bring my own pajamas with me. That's the cat's pajamas.
There you have it,
ladies and gentlemen. Can you do the number again? Because I spoke over it, if you still have it up.
316-2281.
Oh, boy, for that kitty cat, that's going to be cute.
That's a cute cat.
I love the kitties.
Yes.
My dog's now climbing up because it's autumn and just, like, insisting on being in the bed. And he's, like, 80-pound pit bull boxer. And there's, like, no 2 in the morning. Sorry to say, like, I've slept with your dogs as well, which really now sounds weird on the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't.
I once.
He don't mean nothing by it.
No, my apologies. I once had the dog sit for you. That's the story. But, I mean, there's a difference between milk, honey, Horatio, and the little ones.
Yeah, they all weigh 17 pounds each.
You know, and I've got, Bruiser Brody next to me. And when you try to move him at 2 in the morning and he starts growling in, like, sleepy anger, you're kind of, you're not going to get any very far.
Have you ever heard of dog training?
All right, back to this. There's lots of theater around this weekend. Let's talk about some of it. To Santa Fe High at 7:33 p.m. and see A Midsummer Night's Dream. I wrote about it in yesterday's paper. Arcos Dance, that runs through the weekend. Arcos Dance Company's got a contemporary dance program. I think they're playing over at the Dance Barns on Alto Street. We have a story in today's Paso Tiempo. Take a look-see. Bingo runs through the weekend at the Armory for the Arts, 7 o'clock. Interesting quick side note, a lot of people are bringing their performance times down to 7 or 7:30 p.m. these days, maybe because it's darkness and autumn and all that. But Bingo plays at 7, Arcos at 7:30, Midsummer's at 7:33.
What do you prefer, to go to the theater at 7 or at 8?
In the autumn and winter, like last night I went to see Moon Over Buffalo, I was kind of glad it was at 7:30. At 9:30 I was out. But, in the summer, et cetera, I think an 8 o'clock show is fine. But I've noticed more and more, and it could be a reflection on, frankly, an older audience that wants to get in and out sooner. But nonetheless, Bingo, Meow Wolf, Santa Fe Performing Arts, variety show of experimental performance art in one act, 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow. Moon Over Buffalo continues at Santa Fe Playhouse. Hilarious hijinks and hamming galore. I saw it last night. It's fast-paced. There's some really fun, wonderful performers in it.
I would like to say that Robert Knott told me that the amount of hamming and hijinks was greater than anything that he's ever done.
That's correct.
On hamming, this show or in his own theater.
The hijinks were even more hijinkish than any hijinks I've hijinked.
I find that impossible to believe.
No. The antics were antic-driven well beyond my own antics. The buffoonery outbounded any buffoonery I myself have perpetrated.
Ever indulged in. Okay.
Yes. TheaterWork has a new show, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Ellie Mosnary.
Thank you. 7:30 also, James A. Little. It's a drama about a grandmother, a mom, and a little girl. So there is a lot of theater this weekend. Here's what's really interesting. Tonight at 5 o'clock, get this, out at the Chavez Community Center.
Yeah.
Halloween on Ice, 5 to 9.
All right.
Skating party with prizes, candy, spooky music, special effects. You got to pay to get in, but that includes a skate rental. So take the kids out and do Halloween on Ice. I was thinking, I don't know if I've ever seen this like in a zombie movie, but like let's say you were on skates in the ice rink when the zombies attacked. You'd have some chance because you'd be on your skates, and they'd be slipping. But at the same time, it'd be scary because if you fell, they'd get you. So that needs to be in a movie sometime.
Well, I will keep that in mind when I write my next blockbuster. Hey, the 11th Annual Arts...
I miss you.
Elder...
Even when you do that stuff to me, I don't care.
The 11th Annual Eldorado Arts and Crafts Show is happening this weekend. It's for the second year in a row. The Eldorado artists are bringing their art to Santa Fe. 58 artists will show a variety of work, paintings, jewelry, ceramics, glass, photography, sculpture, all sorts of things, at the St. John's United Methodist Church at 1200 Old Pecos Trail on Cordova here in Santa Fe. This is what the Santa Fe Baking Company is on. It's Friday from 3 to 7, that's today, and tomorrow from 9 to 5. More information, eldoart.org, eldoart.org.
Listen, what do you know about this character, Zeno the Gidenken Experimentalist?
Say more.
7:30 tonight, Great Hall, Peterson Student Center, St. John's. Apparently, mathematician William Goldblum Block is this character, and he's going to be talking. I have no idea what it's about, but the very title makes me want to go see it.
I thought you were talking about Prince Zeno.
No, it's Z-E-N-O.
Okay.
So if you want something that's erudite, go on up there. 984-6070, 7:30 in Great Hall. It's Zeno, the Gedenken Experimentalist.
Ah, as in Zeno's Paradox.
Ah, that's
my St. John's is coming back to me.
Oh, those guys, that's right. I did a little St. John's too, and I don't think they ever want me coming back to them. Okay. Santa Fe Flea Markets at the Downs still. 8 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. Farmers Market's going strong. You can do Argentine Tango Milonga, 8 to midnight on Saturday night at Alameda Street at the Dance Station. You got to pay to get in, 982-3926. Do they teach you, or do they just, like, is it tango lessons, or do you just...
You tell me.
Well, you're always at the dance station doing this stuff. I'm usually getting booked into county.
The last potluck of 2012. Wow, it's noisy in here. The Santa Fe Baking Company this morning.
It's not even me.
The last potluck of 2012 is about seed saving from Richard Bernard and energy efficiency from Craig O'Hare from the county. And that's Tuesday, the 30th of October at 6:30 at Whole Foods Community Room on St. Francis. It's it says behind the store. And if you want more information on that, go to homegrownnewmexico.org. So it's classes and potluck on Tuesday.
Now let's say it's Thursday. It's the day after Halloween. No zombies got you. You come out from under your bed or from your closet where you were hiding all night. At least that's where I usually hide. Although I do have that pit bull boxer to keep people away. Usually I watch Evan Costello's
Frankenstein. That would work.
It would?
That pit bull boxer to keep you away, yes.
But I'm going to listen to War of the Worlds at 7 o'clock. But it's Thursday. What do you do? Well, I got things to tell you. Larry Rasmussen speaks on the wonder of water at 1 o'clock Thursday afternoon at St. John's Methodist Church on Pecos Trail. You got to pay to get in. Meanwhile, Sandra Cisneros and Esther Hernandez, the author and illustrator of a new book called Have You Seen a Marie, they're going to be talking and signing their book at 6 o'clock at Collected Works. This is Thursday. And Trent Zelazny. Thank you, Zelazny. He's going to be reading from and signing copies of the very intriguingly titled Too Late to Call Texas. 6 o'clock Thursday at Op City Books on Baca Street.
Opposite.
Yeah, that's right. It's opposite the other place on the other side of the road. And there's a story in Pasatiempo on page 16.
Excellent.
I know. I got by that one, didn't I? And I like to talk about the School for Advanced Research because they always have these great lectures. Listen
they
to
do.
This one. Gathering Dust, Producing Therapeutic Natures in Post-Socialist Siberia.
Yes. Isn't that the one, the woman who studies Tibetan medicine in Siberia?
Tatiana Chudakova?
Yeah.
I think so. Noon. That's noon on Wednesday. That's Halloween day during the day.
Excellent.
School for the Arts has got a play opening Thursday night by Elizabeth Weissman. It's an adaptation of an opera called Sisonia, Sisonia. 9th to 12th graders are playing it. 7 o'clock at Warehouse. Good little theater. Call 988-1234 for tickets on that. And again, that's Thursday night. Hey, how are we doing for time?
It is 8:50.
Yikes.
And Rhythm Tonic, Smokin' Bocce Taiko, and the Marimba Wizards of Jaca are coming together for one night of amazing percussive performance at the Santa Fe Sol. And that is tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Santa Fe Sol Stage and Grill, Sol of Santa Fe, S-O-L of Santa Fe.com.
It's starting time to start getting out there and dance again. The weekend's here. It's a cold autumn night. You feel like heating up. Boy, is there a lot of music to go to. So listen to this.
I'm listening.
Tonight at the Cowgirl. Felix y los Gatos.
Felix y los Gatos.
Felix y los Gatos. 8:30. Small cover. El Farol has dance band Controlled Burn at 9. Small cover. El Farol's on Canyon Road. I can walk there and stagger home without hurting anybody. Evangelos has classic rock band The Jakes at 9 o'clock.
Small Say more cover. About the staggering.
It's only when I'm smart enough not to drink and drive. That's why I go to places close to my house. People don't usually recognize me, and even if they do, well, under that state, I never recognize them. La Fiesta Lounge has Nosotros. That
Yay.
Band will make you want to dance. 8 o'clock, no cover. And Second Street at the Rail Yard has Open Range, the Bluegrass Duo, 6 to 9, no cover. And Vanessa has Soul Static, which is a pretty good R&B soul group. I used to dance to them sometimes. 9 o'clock, you got a call over there for a cover charge. And that's important because I'm going to give that place a little grief. Because I used to go there, and they would just stick a cover charge on your bill without telling you there was a cover charge. So I'm really glad they're saying call for cover.
Sunday, October 28th at 11 o'clock, uh-huh. Journey Santa Fe presents State Senator Peter Wirth at Collected Works Bookstore.
Oh, yeah, this is important.
He is a first-term state senator elected during the 2008 general election, and he was a representative before that, and he will discuss issues of the upcoming election with veteran KSFR radio host David Bacon.
It's going to be great. 11 o'clock on...
Sunday.
Yeah, so
they
please.
Have Journey Santa Fe is doing a really great series of events on Sunday morning. Every single one sounds great.
It does. And Collected Works, by the way, has always and continues to really host these great readings of all different kinds and poetry performances, etc.
Shout out to Collected Works and to our independent bookstores.
Yay. I forgot to mention on Sunday that Jules Work Follies, local talent
Yay.
Showcase series, Whatever You Do, Part 7, Smile in Spite of It. It's going to be stand-up comedy and other antics. 6 o'clock at the Lucky Bean Cafe in Montezuma in San Busco Center. You got to pay a few bucks at the door. 310-9997. And did we talk about the Rail Yard Artisans Market?
Go for it.
On Sunday, 8 to 1, live music. 10 to 4 is electric acoustic harpist, Work Baron. Jerry Carthy will be over there. Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion, basically, on Paseo de Peralta. Go. Check it out Sunday. Should be nice weather. They are saying it's going to be cold this weekend and then warm up a little. But so bundle up. I already got my leather jacket out.
I got an email about a new gallery, Hills Gallery Remix, Then and Now Grand Opening, and that's today from 5 to 7 at 217 Galisteo in Santa Fe.
Let me rattle off some openings, gallery openings. Those guys don't get enough stuff. CCA Spectre Rips Project has Stitch Thought. It's an installation of felt living room furnishings by Tamara Wilson. You mentioned Hills Gallery Remix. I'll mention the Shiprock Santa Fe at 53 Old Santa Fe Trail. Second floor has work by designer Hikori Nakamura, reception 5 to 7. Verve Gallery on Marcy Street has Stephen Strom, a retrospective 5 to 7. That's on Marcy Street. You can find historian Paso Tiempo today. Zane Bennett over on Guadalupe Street. Zane Bennett Contemporary Art has West East Los Angeles, New York, which is paintings by David Kapp, as well as some glass sculpture by Michael Petrie called Joshua D's Wall and Recent Works. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Most of the receptions on Friday nights are 5 o'clock. Canyon Road in the autumn is a nice place to walk up, and I'm sure a few others are having openings as well.
And I got a note that Jan McDonald, is it Jan or Jan? trumpet, and Dave Anderson are playing at El Maison on Friday. That's tonight, the 26th of October, from the Great American Songbook. They'll be there 7:30 to 10:30. No cover charge, but reservations recommended. Chispa at El Maison.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, there they are. The three. Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I overlooked them. Jerry Carthy is over at the Hilton at El Cañon. That's a great little place to have a drink in the autumn and winter because they always have a fire going. If you can get close to the fire, it's nice.
And they've got some good tapas there.
Yes. That's so.
As does La Boca, which might be my favorite place on the planet.
Really?
And that other night, that other place that they opened around, kind of around the corner from La Boca, called La Taberna.
There's a bunch of Halloween parties and celebrations, by the way. Some of the elementary schools are having fiestas over the weekend. I know Carlos Gilbert is, Chaparral. I think tonight Gonzalez over on Alameda is having one. There's going to be free trick-or-treating, safe trick-or-treating at SFCC on Halloween night, and a haunted house set up for people. The Palace Restaurant, if you're a little older and want a drink or two, they're having cats and ghosts at the Palace.
Do we have a problem with unsafe trick-or-treating?
Well, I do, but you probably don't.
Well, I mean, when we were little, we went out at night. We waited until dark. None of this trick-or-treating in the light, and none of this trick-or-treating with your parents.
What are you talking about?
When you were little, didn't you just go out in your costume and go around the neighborhood and collect loot?
I was too afraid to do that until I was like 22. Then I started doing that.
Ah, well, that would explain a great deal.
I would trick-or-treat. You were right. At those days, it got dark at 6 o'clock, right? So, like, you had an early dinner, and then you ran out. You had a... What'd you use? I had a pillowcase.
I had a bag, like a grocery bag, like what you would now call a tote bag. Okay. Maybe it was just... I don't know what it was.
And did you come home with, like, a lot of bubble gum and Hershey stuff? And
oh, yeah.
And did your mom sift through it and say, you can't have this because it's got a razor blade in it?
Nope.
Huh, I see.
We just ate everything.
Yeah, it was fun in those days. I don't even think kids trick-or-treat in neighborhoods anymore, do they?
Yeah, no, they do. In fact, I've been told that I should get candy. But in my neighborhood, we don't get a lot of people.
Okay. Well, that's why...
But some neighborhoods, you get a ton of people. But and you have to get a lot of... You have to go buy those mega bags in
right.
your supermarket.
But I do miss those days. I mean, now they have to go to the mall or to the community college or to KSFR or something, you know?
For trick-or-treating?
Yeah. That's
very
how it is.
Odd.
Well, that's it. What about Day of the Dead? Anything happening that night?
I'm sure there's a lot happening that night.
No, go ahead and mention it.
I don't know.
Well, you're done, huh?
I thought you were doing Speaking of the Arts today.
Oh, I am? Well, let me see here. Let's see what else
I
is going
on. I got something
on.
From the New Mexico School for the Arts.
I just mentioned that. Sisonia?
Okay, you did. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
They're also doing a live dance environmental show up on the Cross of the Martyrs on November 3rd. It sounds really interesting, by the way.
Excellent.
Incorporating the environment. Yeah. That's Elizabeth Weissman's thing. Sisonia, 7 o'clock, yeah. Warehouse 21, 7 o'clock. Okay, what else? Let's say you want to go down to Madrid. Guess what's happening?
What, a Halloween event?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. That reminds me. Benchwarmers, do you want to participate?
Yes.
Santa Fe Playhouse is looking for scripts, 15 minutes long, February. Never done before. Deadline October 29th. So that's
I'll write
Monday.
One the day after tomorrow.
That's right. The Penn Literary Awards are taking submissions. Awards at penn.org. Is that it? I don't even get to
Dean
Martin.
A special afternoon honoring Donald Woodman, My Life in Photography, a Career Overview of the New Mexico History Museum on Sunday, October 28th.
Good.
And they don't tell me what time.
War of the Worlds, Halloween night, 7 o'clock, KSFR.
All right.
Good seeing you.
All right, good seeing you, too. Yeah, you can sing.
Next
we have time.
Next time, can I touch you? Like, just reach over and pat your knee or something?
Yeah, go ahead. Try me.
No, I guess not.
You know, are you going to sing?
Mary, go ahead. Charlotte
he's
loves
singing.
You.
He's singing.
You're nobody till Mary Charlotte cares. You might be a king, you might be a prince, but it don't matter much. Cause you never done felt anything till you get a Mary Charlotte touch. No,